Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers in Christ, Peter's confession is our confession. And I want to share some thoughts from Cyber Brethren. Little did St. Peter know someday he'd be quoted on Cyber Brethren. And also some quotes from Pastor Mark Solomon, who's in Woodford, North Dakota, on St. Peter. The Confession of St. Peter. Peter's name, which means rock, reminds us of his rock-solid confession. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And of course, we'll draw not only from Mark's version of this, but also the other Gospels' version of his profession. By God the Holy Spirit, Jesus established the church upon the rock of the confession that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you might call Peter the rock man, and we who believe in Christ are the rock women and the rock men, because we build our life on the rock of Christ, which will become the rock of our salvation, but it's a cause of the rock of offense. For we know with Peter's confession that Jesus is the Christ, the church is built upon this solid rock, a bloody, suffering, dying Jesus who scorned and rejected, crucified, and suffers. And this is a stumbling block of offense to the world. But it is the rock of our salvation. Through his loneliness and through the disdain he experienced and the shame and suffering, Jesus builds the church on Christ and his cross. And as he calls us to build our lives not upon the sand, but upon the rock, what it really is true is what we sing with the children at Vacation Bible School. The wise man builds his house upon the rock. And when the rain comes down and when the floods come up, the house on the rock stands firm. I thought it very interesting that Pastor Mark Solomon, who's at Our Savior Lutheran Church in Woodworth, North Dakota, titled his sermon for the Confession of St. Peter, From Being Petrified to Becoming a Rock. And I thought that was pretty good. Petrified, afraid to confess Jesus before a little servant girl who said, weren't you with Jesus? No, I don't know the man. To becoming the one who would stand on Pentecost and preach one sermon, and 3,000 people come to faith. He went from being petrified to becoming a rock in God's kingdom. Now, the name that we know Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, we just confess that in the creed. And we do it in the Nicene Creed, the Apostles' Creed, and the Athanasian Creed. In a very real way, I love the creed in the divine service, because when we're saying the creed, standing right next to us in the visible church is Peter and John and Andrew, the ones who made this same confession. I wish all around the world when the creeds were being confessed that there would be thunder in the sky and the timpanis would be rung out as we proclaim, we believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the thing that we know that's especially comforting to us is that we know no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Jesus tells him, you didn't come up with this, Simon, son of John or Jonah, but my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. It's by the Holy Spirit that he confessed that Jesus was the Christ. And a short while later, because our battle is the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh, the same one filled with the Holy Spirit, proclaiming Christ as the Son of the living God, the next minute, the devil speaking through him, telling Jesus, don't talk about that cross stuff. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Is this not a warning to us as Christians and as pastors? We have the privilege of preaching, reading the public having the public reading of the scripture, baptizing people, absolving people, giving them Holy Communion. But at one slight turn, the devil, the world and our own sinful flesh can cause us to deny our confession, to deny Christ, and to fall. We need the Holy Spirit every day just as much as Peter did. If Peter can fall, you and I can fall. How amazing it is that when Peter, who was petrified in front of the little servant girl, then he gets up in front of thousands of people on Pentecost and says, "Let it be known that by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but God raised from the dead, this man stands before you whole. There is salvation in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." One of the amazing statements by which we teach our people there's salvation in nowhere else. This passage and Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. Strong professions that there can only be salvation in Christ. Now, we're pastors. We've known all of our life, because we study Greek, about the play on the name of Peter, that his name and the masculine Petros for Peter, as he renames Simon the Rock, off the feminine rock of his confession, that the Lord didn't build the church upon the person of Peter, we're not Roman Catholics, but upon the confession of St. Peter, which is what the day is called, the confession of St. Peter. He's the rock, and upon the rock of his confession, the church is built. For indeed, in the Nicene Creed, I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. It's a universal church. Christians are found in denominations all across the world. The Catholic universal church even includes all those who are already in heaven. Through preaching and teaching, God establishes his church. So the church is the bride of Christ. The Lord will come back as the bridegroom to receive us to himself. Meanwhile, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, is the rock of our salvation. How beautiful it is that Christ, crucified for our justification, was raised from the dead on the third day. And Peter and all the apostles through the entire book of Acts say, of this we are eyewitnesses. We're Lutherans, and we believe in the theology of the cross. We stand by bedsides of people who are dying, whose lives are broken, and they're crying out for God's presence. And the theology of glory gives them no comfort at all. The theology of glory tells him, well, if you really were more in the will of God, maybe things would be working out for you better. Or don't you know the Christian life is all about victory? If you were really following Jesus, these things wouldn't have happened to you. Those crazy words of the theology of glory absolutely destroy people. It'll either create pride or complete despair. We come beside bedsides and we say, Christ was crucified. The disciples were martyred. Every day in our baptism, we drown the old Adam so the new man can come forth. In fact, when you're the most down, when you're the most broken, when you cling to your faith, you are at that moment closer to Christ. We are closest to him when we pick up our cross and follow him. And then we have comfort. Not only our people, but we have comfort. Peter said, you have come to the living stone. You are living stones built into the spiritual house, the chief cornerstone, elect and precious. Whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. May we, like Peter, build our lives upon the rock of the confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And may we as pastors ourselves take up the cross and follow Christ into heaven, and then help our beloved people in our congregations pick up their cross and follow Jesus Christ, the living stone, the rock of our salvation. And then we'll not be petrified, but we will be rock in God's kingdom, built upon the rock that is Jesus Christ. God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.